Welcome to Coffee Conversations with Stephen Hayward of Project X. This is a time where, hopefully over a good cup of coffee, we're having some conversations with various people around the industry that might be of interest to you, our lovely listener. Hope you'll enjoy this episode of Coffee Conversations. Welcome to the fifth episode of Coffee Conversations. I have with me my business partner, Graham Boundy, who also is responsible for our data warehousing practice. Welcome, Graham.
Thank you, Stephen.
So, in that you don't need any further introduction in terms of who you are, you're a member of Project X and so forth, thought we would take today to talk about a couple concepts around data warehousing that we've been involved with and have had some good fast return on investment in data warehousing, and underlying that would be single version of the truth, get the data to the business user as fast as physically possible, and our accelerate data methodology, which is around normalization second, data in the enterprise data warehouse first. So with that, thought we could just kind of start off by talking about single version of the truth and what that means and why and some of the deciding factors.
Well, I guess the first thing to say is that it's single version of the truth isn't really our concept. It's a concept that's been floated around the data warehousing world for quite some time, and what it comes down to is the concept that most operational systems are stovepipes or silos of information, and the warehouse works to bring information from multiple silos to a single location, and so that you can do reporting across multiple areas of the business and provide to your end user, executive, and business intelligence users that thing called a single version of the company's truth, or a single version of the truth about the company.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, some of the things that from kind of listening to and talking with a bunch of Fortune 50 companies that are our clients, that, you know, one of the things is that, you know, a lot of these operational systems don't, by default, keep long histories of data in them due to the definition of way that operational system works, or the creation of an operational data store and how those things are created. And then ultimately, when you want to create an enterprise data warehouse, you're really talking about multiple business segments and really analyzing and coming up with the answers across multiple. Otherwise, reporting off of your source system, assuming it can handle the traffic, is okay. We're talking about when you're trying to do, you know, a lot more intelligence around the data warehouse.
Yeah, I think that, you know, that kind of leads to another concept, which is the whole question of enterprise data warehouse versus the data marts, and which way do you want to approach enterprise reporting? And I've always been a long time proponent of enterprise data warehouse over the data mart concept, given that you want to get all of your data in one place and provide that single version of the truth. And it's difficult, or in fact impossible, to provide a single version of the truth if you're going to take your data and divide it up again over multiple marts.
And then duplicate it, transform it every time you move it from one place to the other. And, you know, you have that theory of the more you handle it.
My mantra of every time you pick up the data and put it down, it costs you money. It's a lot like the material handling or in a business that's involved with inventory tracking and the handling of and distribution of inventory. They keep their costs down by making sure they handle their inventory as little as possible. And that's true for data as well. You have to make sure that you handle the data as little as possible. So you pick it up from a source system and you put it into an enterprise data warehouse and you report on it from that enterprise data warehouse. One of the presentations that we give talks about C.J. Date and how back in 1974 he predicted that the two biggest challenges we would have is in telecommunications or networking technology and the concept of an integrated database. And we're still challenged with that, in that when relational databases came into the fore in the 80s and 90s, we originally thought we could do all of our OLTP, all our online transaction processing work, and all of our OLAP work, all of our online analytical processing, on the same database. And we quickly discovered in the mid-90s that, in fact, we couldn't do this. We tried to squeeze all of the performance we could out of the relational database, and it just couldn't do both things because of the nature of those two pieces of work, online transaction processing and online analytical processing, were different. Transactional processing is very quick, short transactions that use a small amount of data, and analytical processing is large sets of data, big queries,
big joins,
with performance impacted. The performance impact of running a reporting type query when someone else is trying to run a transactional type query is phenomenal.
But so, I mean, those days have changed now.
We've evolved
very far from the 90s to today.
Well, where we're at now is we've got two basic schools of thought, which is you pick up the data from source and you deliver it to a number of different data marts to do analytics on those particular subject areas, or you pick up the data from source and you put it into one large enterprise data warehouse and you report directly from the enterprise data warehouse. And the only reason we had to do that, create those data warehouses or those data marts, was because we didn't have the performance on the operational store. And then we built multiple data marts because people found that they couldn't even get the performance they were looking for out of their data warehouse, and they had to go to multiple data marts to get those kinds of performance as well. So now we're seeing that the industry is maturing and the architectures are maturing to the point where we can now start thinking about consolidating our data marts into our enterprise data warehouse. And I believe that sometime in the future, we will achieve that thing that Date wanted back in 1974, which was an integrated database so that your operational data and your reporting data can be in that environment. But we're not there yet.
Well, I mean, if you look at, you know, obviously Teradata as a platform is very strong in the single version of the truth. That's their whole mentality, and it's one data structure and tables and all that, and you're not separating to create the performance. But even if you look at Oracle and DB2, you know, that exercise we ran for that telecom company, you saw that all of their data marts were getting closer and closer and basically on the enterprise data warehouse as opposed to outside. And you even see ETL, yeah, with the evolution of ELT all of a sudden also being on the enterprise data warehouse. So clearly performance is catching up, whether it's massively parallel or rack for Oracle or distributed grid computing for DB2, they're all there. I mean, the later two aren't proven, but that doesn't mean that they're not a good answer.
It's certainly the direction that the industry is going in, is to bring all of the data sources into a single data warehouse where they can come up to a concept of one version of the truth. And that we're seeing all of the vendors evolve to that.
Yeah. So. And I mean, that helps deal with the data latency issue and the, you know, having someone ask the question of the IT or the reporting folks and coming back with four different answers to the same question.
And it full loops around to that whole concept of how many times do you handle the data and thinking about making sure that you only handle the data a minimal amount of times, because that way you keep your costs down for managing that.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things that, you know, we've seen over and over again, both with people that have implemented an enterprise data warehouse or people that want to implement an enterprise data warehouse, is the fact that it looks like a big, daunting, heavy beast of $5 or $10 million of expenditure and 2 years down the road, and you know, a lot of proof is out there that that's exactly what it is, which led us to the creation of how do you do this in a more easy fashion that allows you to get going and start creating an enterprise data warehouse or working data store and our data acceleration model.
Certainly one of the challenges we've ran into in working with customers is the distance that exists between the business user and their expectations and the IT organization and their expectations. The business user is interested in having their reports delivered to them in a timely fashion and be as accurate as they can be, and they know that the data is available, they just want to get their hands on it. And the IT folks, on the other hand, and you know, I'm guilty of this as much as anyone else is more concerned with making sure that the data is gathered correctly, that it's structured properly, that it's presented and put into the data warehouse in a way that it can be retrieved easily, and all of those sorts of things, conforming to industry standards and third normal form and naming conventions and
metadata
and referential integrity and all of those good, nice words for how you go about building an industrial strength database. And those two things are diametrically opposed. So what happens what we've seen happen with a number of customers is the business user gets tired of waiting for the IT organization to build that EDW, and they go off and they build their own reporting systems that they extract the data and put it into an Access database or a smaller SQL Server database, or they jam it into an Excel spreadsheet, what we like to call spread marks.
Yeah, or they even go off and buy that whatever that vendor was has its own data mart, data warehouse solution that creates another silo of reporting, which can't do cross-functional and cross-business.
Sure, you certainly see that with a number of different vendors that where they've got a product that they sell that does the operational piece of the business, and the company who owns it, who purchased it, is also looking for some kind of data warehousing component. An example that comes to mind is SAP BW. It's the business warehouse piece that is built off of SAP.
Yep.
So you've got these silos developed as a result of people going out and looking for solutions because the enterprise data warehouse, for one reason or another, wasn't ready or wasn't structurally sound as far as IT was concerned, and
they weren't building it. Maybe they believe in federated. You know, there's all sorts of different business models for data warehousing.
So we struggled with this, and we were trying to come up with a way that we could entice the business user to come back to the putting data into the enterprise data warehouse and not complain about the fact that it was taking too long and it was too expensive to do. So we thought up this idea of, within the context of the enterprise data warehouse, you could build a, for lack of a better term, a working data store, which is really, you pick up, normally when you were designing the enterprise warehouse, you would look at the source data, you would structure it or look at its structure and then figure out how you wanted to structure it to conform to an enterprise model. And then you'd build the enterprise model and the physical database in the enterprise data warehouse conforming to that enterprise model. And then there'd be a lot of extract, transformation, and load work that would have to happen between your source system and the EDW in order for the data to get populated into the EDW. And that's the thing that took all the time. So we said, why don't we eliminate that time by just picking the data up off the source system and bringing it into the warehouse in the structure that it currently exists in the source system. It doesn't conform to the enterprise data warehouse standard.
It's not integrated. It's not normalized. It's not third normal form.
None of those things. Or it could be, but it's not necessarily. And so you pick it up off the source and you load it into the warehouse in the table for table or file for file, file to table if you like. And then you can say to your end users, we've loaded the data into our warehouse. It's not perfect, it's not the way we'd like it to be, but it's loaded into our warehouse. And now we can do things like build views on that data And those views would represent how the user wants to actually look at the data in third normal form, or in star schema form, or in snowflake schema form. And then their reporting tools, whatever they would prefer to use, could access that data through an ODBC connection, or depending on the sophistication of the tool, JDBC connection.
But MicroStrategies objects, all that stuff.
Or something along those lines. So you basically take whatever tool you're going to use for reporting, you say, here are the views that I've created for you against this working data store data, and you can report on it today. Then you can actually do two things about that. You've satisfied your business user's requirement. They can now look at the data. And you can, as a technical person, start looking at the data and decide, how do I want to structure it in my EDW? How do I want to put it into third normal form? Maybe I don't want, you know, with supertypes, subtypes, and all these other logical modeling techniques and so forth. Decide how you actually want to implement some of those techniques and structures.
Well, the other part of it is that I love is that, you know, quite often within IT, an enterprise data warehouse group is supporting other IT groups that are developing these applications or reporting. And quite often, at the early stages, they're not even truly sure what they really want. And by giving it to them, they now can, at least as they're building stuff, start reporting against it versus having two parallel exercises, a group doing ETL and a group doing reporting, and hoping that, you know, through good management, they meet in the middle. And the only time you find out is once you captured all the data, and if you wait too long, then it's talking about taking three months to load all the historical stuff to make the reports work and all that other stuff. You're now saying, hey, in 2 weeks or whatever period of time, depending on the infrastructure, boom, you're ready to go.
Yeah, exactly. So once you've got the data loaded and people can report on it, they're also going to find, you know, there are things missing from it that they thought was going to be there. They're going to see things that's there that they didn't know was going to be there. And that opens their eyes to a whole new, all new possibilities of, you know, the classic question of what do you, you know, going out looking for requirements and asking your user, well, what do you want? And the response is, I don't know, show me what you can give me and I'll tell you if it's right or not.
Yeah.
And then I'll tell you what I want after that. So, you know, dealing with those kinds of issues.
And having gone through before, if you didn't know, do this first, you go through that whole process, and you've gone and built a huge data model in third normal form to support this, and you're wrong because the client said, oh, I'm sorry, when I meant churn, I meant something different,
yeah,
or customer is this, or whatever it might be that nuance might be.
So it allows you to prototype, if you like, the reporting environment and find places where there are gaps in either your knowledge or the user's knowledge or the data, the gaps in the data that wouldn't necessarily come out. It wouldn't necessarily come out when you're sitting around a whiteboard talking in an esoteric high-level design concepts, and you know the user thinks they understand what you're talking about, and you think the user understands what you're talking about, but you know, there's a gap in your understanding. To see the actual data and how it's actually can be reported on is a real eye-opener for a lot of people when they're developing this kind of business intelligence.
Because one of the things I really kind of summarized it to me is that there's no hidden meaning in the data. I remember that discussion we had the other day about hidden meaning in data.
Someone was marketing the concept that you could find all kinds of hidden meaning in the data, and I disagreed with that. I think that the meaning is not so much in it being hidden. It's just the fact that nobody has access to all of it because they don't have that single version of the truth. So if you can bring it to people sooner and let them have a look at it, they'll find things in the data that they didn't know was there.
Yeah.
But it's only the fact that it's not in the same place, so they can look at this piece over here and this piece over there in a single version of that truth again, that gives them the ability to see the things they couldn't see before.
Well, and I laugh because, you know, when the business asks for something, it's generally a business intelligence question, a report or some sort of KPI or dashboard. And IT goes to build the report, And they go, I can't do it because I can't find the data. But the data's out there. Mm-hmm. And I just think, you know, it's, depending on how big you are, it's everywhere and anywhere. So
yeah, that leads into a whole other discussion around metadata, which is, you know, maybe we'll reserve that for another conversation.
No, I'm not going to go down that rat hole.
No, absolutely.
But, you know, the other thing I liked about that is that if you go and create those views, and now the other IT group or the business is reporting or doing whatever they need with it, you now have the time to decide whether you want to put it into third normal form or integrate it or normalize it or do whatever. You know, SBC Communications, they've got a massive enterprise data warehouse, and this is exactly what they do. They put it into this kind of holding area, sandbox, working data store. They call it something totally different. And then they go, and once they've gotten it and delivered value, then they worry about, well, should it be this and should it be that, as opposed to coming up with all sorts of reasons to the business as to why it's going to take so long to get it to them. So, you know, I know production people cringe when we talk about this stuff because you're actually doing operational business reporting off of this sandbox kind of thing. But, you know, one of the things I like you always talked about is, well, just share this information with the business. Tell them what you're doing and tell them why. And guess what? You've got a partner, and people aren't going to be going, well, that's going to cost you X gigabytes, you know, X dollars per gigabyte of storage, and that's it. And they're going, well, wait a second, I can go do this on my site license of SQL Server or Access or Oracle or whatever it might be, and now they're not doing it in the centralized platform. And, you know, you've been an architect for how many different Fortune 50 companies, and you've yet to be given a budget to go and say, hey, to do it right, I'll give you a little bit of extra money.
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, the first thing that gets de-scoped is metadata, and the second thing that gets de-scoped is documentation, right?
But and the third is a data model and how much time you're going to be allowed to spend on that.
Right? Indeed. So back to your point about, you know, productionizing these things. I mean, that's obviously one of the big challenges associated with any large enterprise data warehouse is there is an organization that's responsible for the care and feeding and the keeping alive of the warehouse environment. And when we start introducing things that are dynamic, like a working data store, that are not completely nailed down from day one, there is some hesitance on the part of production services and operations people who, you know, want to see everything in a production ready, for lack of a better term, production ready format before anything gets put into that production environment. But, you know, if you've got a robust enough data base environment and you've got your privileges and protections and so forth set up in the proper way and security set up in the proper way, people putzing around, that's a technical term, putzing around with the working data store can't affect or shouldn't have an effect on the truly production EDW. So it's a bit of a challenge to get people to realize that, but once people see that, you know, they're not going to be impacted, that it's a good solution to how do we get data to the end user more quickly problem.
Yeah, and I mean, they also have the time, and the production group is involved. And, you know, what is the future state of that working data store? Because, you know, from our point of view, working data store isn't necessarily the ultimate end of that data capture and presentation. It's around saying that this is, you know, a working copy of the data to prove out this, and ultimately you want to normalize and integrate in third normal form it.
Yeah, I guess
if it makes sense.
I guess if there's one thing that you need to kind of end this topic on is the whole concept of you do want to integrate this working data store into the EDW at some point, and preferably sooner rather than later, and presumably only the data that makes sense to put into the EDW, but you do want to have it integrated into the EDW at some time or another. And so when you start building these things, you also have to figure out how you're going to fund that second phase of the process. The first phase of the process, the business buys into, yeah, okay, you got me my data, great, I'm doing these great reports, I'm real happy about that. And then when you go back to the business and say, now we want to integrate it into the EDW, their response is going to be, well, you know, I've already paid for this. Why should I pay for additional costs to bring it into the EDW? And the answer is, well, because we want to put it right for everybody else in the organization who might want to look at it as well. And
but, you know, in all fairness, I mean, the alternative, if you did it just the old-fashioned, put it into third normal form, you'd say, it's going to take me X number of months and it's X dollars, and they're going to have to pay that. If you go and say, it's X number of months and X number of dollars, but at the same time, because of our methodology, you're going to have the data in 2 weeks or 4 weeks, as opposed to that endpoint, but that extra last period of time is the, you know, what we would generally hide in my productionization of our solution,
right,
where the productionization means, you know, taking that model or creating a model and things like that.
That's actually a good point, because if the user's business intelligence is going to give them a business benefit that can be measured in real dollars, be it additional margin on some product or cost cutting of some sort or another, and they're realizing that sooner, you've done two things. You've proved that, in fact, the reporting that you were providing has enabled them to do that.
Yeah.
And you've presented them with real numbers that then could be used as a means to fund the additional structuring of the EDW. So that's a valid point.
The other thing is that if they've made the effort of maybe buying an enterprise data model, and so that part is actually built, then you now are just going through the process of then mapping, and that isn't necessarily as big as then going and deciding, well, I now need to create a whole module for this kind of part or this type of customer or this type of whatever, and that's slightly different from whatever model you're adding to it. And that's, you know, all those things. I mean, the data warehouse is built up of a data model, some software, some infrastructure, and a whole bunch of ETL to get all the data in. And, you know, you can skimp on various different pieces. People rarely skimp on ETL because you have to get the data in there.
Yeah, they don't have a choice.
But, you know, one of the things we found with our Accelerate model is that if you either invest in an ELT tool or you actually take a two-phased ETL and then go, and after you've gotten through that normalization process supporting your customer, then you build your big T based on, do you want to normalize it or not? And then you just park it and let it evolve.
That's certainly one of the other aspects of this, is that the emphasis is moving from ETL to ELT in the marketplace, in that you extract the data, you load it into a database somewhere, and then you transform it within the database. And that makes all kinds of sense, because guess what? Databases are built these days, and especially data warehousing databases are built these days to do a lot of heavy lifting.
All that RDBMS stuff and what they can do, and by doing stuff in batch and how much faster, and that other stuff. I mean, it's just incredible.
If you can move data within the database and not extract it out and manipulate it and then put it back in again, pick it up and put it down, pick it up and put it down. It's just, you know, a simple insert selects from one table into another in the database is much faster than moving the data out of one database, doing transformations, and loading it into another database, or even out of one database table and into another database table in the same database. So that's it's interesting to see that all of the major vendors seem to be moving toward that extract, load, transform model.
Well, I mean, if you look at it, all three, and I'll actually add a fourth to it, but all of the top three vendors in the enterprise data warehousing world, as Forrester and Gartner would have it, the mature marketplace guys, their engines internally and the things that they can do with the data is just so strong that it just makes sense to do it in there. I mean, we do work with Informatica, we do work with Essential, looks like we're about to start doing work with Business Objects, ETL. All of them, you know, they're fine, and there's nothing wrong with them. It just, if you could leverage the horsepower of something you've already bought as a specialized engine, it's just awesome. So,
well, there's no question I'm all for putting the data in the database and then doing all of, as I said earlier, the heavy lifting inside the warehouse.
So, anyway, well, I appreciate, Graham, you taking a little bit of time. I know you're extraordinarily busy on multiple engagements for us, and I appreciate it, and I know that this was a little bit of a kind of methodology approach in our religious kind of beliefs discussion, but, you know, it's a little bit about Project X, and how we think about stuff from an enterprise data warehouse. And, you know, we've certainly seen some great value. This is not something that we just kind of thought up theoretically. This is something that we've implemented in a number of different places and had some great and wonderful measurable value in. So I appreciate you taking the time.
My pleasure.
And I'd like to thank Cafe Supreme for letting us use their facility, though we do have a little bit of duplicated different types of music in the background, but it's all part of the kind of universe. But thank you for joining us, and next time we're going to have Jim Hayward join us to talk about some stuff on change, which has seemed to be a fairly large topic out of our Jim and Harvey sayings and so forth. So thanks for joining us for this episode, and look forward to chatting with you soon, and please feel free to add your comments. Thank you. For more information about Project X, please join us at www.pxltd.ca or hop on our blog at pxltd.typepad.com, and look forward to seeing you on our next episode. This is a copyright of Project X Limited.